Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Your Life with Michelle. Join me every Thursday at 5:30 Central Standard Time to learn how to heal your health, heart, and spirit. My guests come from all over the world to show us a new way of living life so you too can let joy be your dessert.
Hi, you're listening to Love Your Life with Michelle, and I am your host, Michelle Myron. This show is all about living a healthy, happy, and holistic life. So it's April 23rd today, it's beautiful out, I had my windows open, I did some cleaning, and what a great way to start the week. Even though it's Monday, but that's okay, it's still a great week, great day. And I haven't done a show in a few weeks now. My last guest was Karen Inslee, and we were talking about metabolic typing. And for those of you who didn't tune in or hear it, or even if you don't know what metabolic typing is, it's basically, I mean, there's quite a lot more to it, but it's essentially eating for your metabolic type and I guess how your body metabolizes food. And oh, it's a big process, but yeah, it's really interesting, so make sure you go check out that show. I loved it. Since then, I've actually started finding out what my metabolic type is as well. And so as I go along on this journey, I'm going to share that with you as well and let you know how it's going. So every week I'll check in and, keep you informed. So also another thing that I've been doing lately is I've been working with my guest actually today, and she taught me how to use EFT probably about a month ago. And it's something that I was always fascinated with, but I didn't know anything about. I always thought it was more complicated than it actually is. So I've been doing a ton of research on it lately, listening to a lot of podcasts. We've been taught, myself and Pamela Ann have been talking about it. And it is absolutely fascinating, and I wish more people knew about it. Just if you don't know what it is, Google it, look it up. And it's basically tapping on your meridian points to help release it's an emotional block that you're having, a physical. You could use it for anything. It's just absolutely incredible. If you're going through any kind of emotional turmoil, any kind of physical, whether you have a back pain, even eyesight, I would listen to a podcast today on helping your eyesight with it. And I have, I guess it's nearsightedness, and I've been wearing glasses since I was about 7. So I'm really excited to try this technique with my eyesight. All right. So enough about that. That was just me catching everybody up on what's been going on. So on to our show today. So we've all heard these four-letter words before. Even fine, upstanding, humble people use them, including your teetoting auntie or Sabbath day preacher. These expressions don't usually bring out the best feelings in us. If we're not experiencing upbeat feelings, we usually will not be creating the world we desire. In fact, when we speak, think, listen to, and then feel how these words resonate inside our bodies, we often unwittingly push ourselves away from our power and ability to create what we would love to experience. Today, we have the opportunity to visit with Pamela Anuzel. She's a dynamic, inspiring speaker that motivates and encourages others to reawaken their power, an ability to create the world they prefer, and even put a date on it. Through this gifted mentor, we will learn about four-letter words and the importance of releasing them from our lives. We will also learn other powerful words that can assist us in raising our awareness, energy, and ability to create more precisely our preferred preferences in our daily lives. And I'm so excited to have Pamela Ann on again, and to be able to talk about this, because I think it's really going to change everybody's lives. So welcome, Pamela Ann. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thanks so much, Michelle. I appreciate your letting me come and share this really positive and uplifting way to be able to command your world. I think also it would be great sometime if we do a little follow-up of what you're talking about with the tapping, because
yes,
there is a tremendous amount of very positive information, encouraging and supportive information about tapping, but I have a couple key elements that really increases its ability to have a long-lasting effect and a rapid effect for people to rapidly be able to release.
Ever since you showed me how to do it, because I have a DVD on it, I have a book on it, but it was just something I kind of put on the back burner, And ever since you did that session with me that first time and showed me how to actually do it and how easy it is, that's all I've done. I've taken books out. I've listened to podcasts. I've watched videos, and I'm so excited to use it in my everyday life. And there's some things that are kind of going on in my life right now in a positive way.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, part of you is like, well, do they coincide with each other, you know? So, yeah.
Well, and then, too, you know, I've shared with you my first session of tapping and that it was actually measurable before and after. I had
mm-hmm.
profound low blood pressure that we could not even measure when I stood
mm-hmm.
up. A nurse that was teaching me this, we could not even measure it. That's how low it was. And after the tapping session, I had commanded what I preferred to see happen prior to the tapping session. And then immediately after the tapping session, we were able to literally measure it with a blood pressure cuff and see that it had literally physically changed in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but it had held until I was able to get back into the States to see my doctor and to receive some medication to assist it if necessary. And yet I still had my amazing improved blood pressure even 10 days later with no medication, no change other than one session of tapping. So, yes, it would be great to just do a little, you know, a show that has a bit of that in it along with some other things to assist people in letting that happen. And you were able to learn it over Skype with me, which is,
yeah.
Isn't it awesome how we have this great technology these days?
I love it. That was incredible. And like I said, even if I don't see any changes yet, even though I probably do, but, you know, you're still kind of like the little voice in the back of your head saying, well,
mm-hmm.
does it really have to do with that? But at the same time, it's just so exciting. And the fact that it kind of makes life feel even more exciting and that you can handle anything learning this technique. So we're going to do another show and have you on talking about that because especially for the listeners that don't know what it is and they're like,
mm-hmm.
well, what is it? Then that way we can let them know as well because it's incredible.
Well, I'm so supportive of anyone that's done any research on this and has provided any support and videos and encouragement for people to learn about tapping. But there's a couple key things that I've discovered that really increases the benefits of it more rapidly. And you are receiving some evidence of things improving in your life, and tapping is part of that component. So.
Absolutely. And also for any of my listeners that didn't hear our last show together when you were originally on, is I just want to talk about how much you've changed my life since even having you on the show for the first time and over the past month that I've actually had the privilege and, oh, it's just such an honor to get to work with you because you weren't just somebody that talks about something. You're living proof of how you can manifest the life you want. I mean, you're so inspiring, and I love you, and I'm just so glad that we crossed paths. So I just wanted to say that.
The feeling is mutual. I really do believe that when I'm sharing with others, it's a mutually inspiring and uplifting situation because I feel this power surging through me as I'm being also reminded and taught at the same time as I'm sharing this valuable information with others. So you have definitely blessed my life as well. Thank you so much for asking to participate with me and sharing this happy way of living.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, so four-letter words. I'm very excited.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
All right, so sometimes
yeah.
I'll suggest to people to grab a piece of paper and a pen to maybe jot down a few notes, and thankfully you have this archived, but just allow yourself to kind of picture in your mind for a moment some of the four-letter words that you've heard in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And before you get diving in too deeply in that, I'd like to refer to the four-letter words that I'm really talking about. It's not the expressions that you might be imagining. What I'm alluding to are terms such as work, task, hard, fear, help, make, dumb, pain, need, want, hate. You know, those are the four-letter words I'm really talking about. they have been so deeply ingrained in our speech patterns and our methods of communicating that many of the people I'm training have no clue that they're using them. Mm-hmm. It's just how they have patterned their way of communicating. But those words have power to create or destroy. Our words have power. And it's very important that we're aware of what are the words that we're using to command our world. Because whatever we ask for, the answer is yes. But what are we asking for? And if we're coming from a place of lack, need, want, we'll never receive our desires. Because that's coming from that place that you really can't command what you would love, what you'd love to receive. And those that created us live in a place of sheer abundance. And they're prepared to pour out a mighty blessing on us at any time. If we will just ask and open up and believe and let ourselves receive what it is that they're preparing without anything wavering. So the wavering part comes in when you're starting to have that fear set in and you're not so certain, you're lacking your confidence. You just shove it away. So that's why it's important for us to be aware of what are we asking for and how are we forming the things that we're desiring. So, all right, even some people think about the word work and immediately they kind of have this knee-jerk reaction of rolling up the shirt sleeves and sweating and it's hard and it's difficult. So that word doesn't always resonate well in us. Other people love to work, and they just delight in it. So it also has a bearing as to how do you internalize it. How do you internalize these words? So go with your feelings, because your feelings are your perfect guide. They'll help you direct what it is that you desire to have in your life, if it's bringing you joy or diminishing your joy. So along with the word work, you can also have even the word play as a four-letter word. If you connect it with being lazy and not being adult and stick-to-ing the tasks that you're supposed to be having. So even it can be like thought of as a misuse of time or guilt. Again, play can be a fabulous word, but it's important to you understand what I'm saying? Can you see how words, just how you internalize them, can create them as to four-letter words that are destructive or words that can still be very valuable and useful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I see play as very important in our lives, to be playful and childlike and have brightness and excitement about what's coming into your life.
Mm-hmm. So. And I look at play as definitely a positive word, because I know when even I do my angel cards, and sometimes when things are really chaotic, I'll get the go play card, and it always says to take time to meditate, go outside, you know, walk in bare feet in the grass, and make sure you have fun, and just take that time to play instead of always work.
Exactly, because we were created, and this world was created for us to have joy. Mm-hmm. And we can have joy continually through our lives, every portion of our lives, if we allow ourselves to see it as this amazing adventure that was created for our gaining experience, not as a place of testing and hardship and difficulty. And speaking of hard, I was training a man in the last major election that was running for, he was running for Congress. And as I was training him, he came up with a four-letter word, and he said that it was so hard to find people to volunteer.
Yeah.
And there's that four-letter word popping up, right? Well, that's commanding this world. And I said, you're exactly right. It is hard to find people to volunteer, and it will continue to be hard for you to find people as long as you are commanding it and experiencing that word in you resonating and believing that that's how it's going to be. That's how it will be.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared with him some ways that he could be able to have this change for him. And I shared with him that if the results of those situations are less than satisfying to him, that he can change it and shift it at any time. He's the one commanding this world, and he can change his perception or his idea of how he felt about volunteering. And for him to remember that he can change his feelings and actions into a new reality, his thoughts, his feelings, his vision of of how it is for these people to come. And I said to him that to remember that a belief is just a thought you keep repeatedly thinking until it becomes your belief. And he had evidently heard throughout the years that it's hard for you to be able to have these people to come volunteer, and so that became his belief. So, and also whatever he thinks and gives his attention to is what he's going to create. So this is what I shared with him. If you continually think that something's hard or difficult, it will remain that way. But it's great to point that out, but I prefer just spending a scant amount of time on that. And instead, I love to be able to share with people what they can insert in that scenario instead.
Yes.
So I just shared with him that he could be able to visualize what he would love to see happen instead about volunteers. And he could think about people eagerly walking through the campaign headquarters doors and asking if they could work with the team. And I further pointed out that the more he could visualize the details, which is really important, he would be able to start seeing those details manifest. And I recommended that he get excited and see this happening now and notice how great the synergy felt, because that excitement actually literally drives in his reality those experiences. Mm-hmm. So with that thought in mind, we started to think about them and visualize them and speak about this positive change as if it was currently forming, not in the future, but currently forming now. And that's very important to stay in the now. Because if you're thinking that someday I'll be able to find these volunteers, it's Jason someday, right? We've discussed those things before, and I'm sure a lot of your viewers already understand that. And so the details of my instructions went something like this. And to see the people as they come in with their excited enthusiasm and genuine desire to contribute, and notice that all these people are harmonious and enjoy interacting with one another. This is important, having harmonious relationships. And they look forward each day to creating with the group that's already been formed. So there's this synergy that starts forming, and not this dissension of I've been here longer than you. So you just focus on what you desire. Observe their good works as they participate in the office or interact with the people in the community, and picture them doing a great job of representing and supporting his desires to serve the individuals that he's going to be representing in our state. And allow himself to get an excitement, a thrill, every time he thinks about those that are currently participating in this campaign. So this is not just for a candidate running for office. This can be plugged into any person's life. About how would you like to have your family dynamics in your home? How would you like to have your working dynamics in any office setting or any kind of setting where you interact with people? If you're not pleased with what's going on, let go of that situation and start envisioning with detail what you would love to see instead. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I suggested that he feel really thankful and grateful for all those who are presently volunteering and supporting him. Because if we're not thankful and grateful for what we already have, how can we receive more?
Exactly.
We have a lot, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree.
So with that vision of those people that he currently has, they were fabulous people, really had a great base team, core team. I had met with them and trained with them, and I was very impressed with these fabulous people. And you can say, as you visualize these people, more of these qualities for all of us. And for those that are joining us now, please thank you. Now, when he's speaking these words, he's referring to speaking these words to those that created him. Mm-hmm. He's having an ongoing communication with those that form this world and developing a personal relationship with them. And that's important for all of us. So many of us feel like we're alone in this world, and truly, we're not. We never
and
have been.
And we're not. And you're not talking religion either. So it's
no.
Even only for people that are religious or whatever word you want to use.
I train people from all over the world, and some believe in a higher power and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some have a religious connection, some are deeply spiritual, and some aren't. But yet these simple laws work for everyone.
Yeah.
So we are known and loved. So whatever it is that resonates with you personally, I'm not dictating that. That's a personal thing, and I'm totally accepting and loving of the people that are in my world, in my life. And those that I train or come to me for training, and they can literally feel that complete love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can rapidly train and start seeing amazing shifts in their lives because they feel completely accepted. That's a key ingredient to love completely.
Our first session. I'm sorry when that was my first time ever being on Skype, and I wanted to make sure I had my makeup done and my hair done, and you know everything behind me was nice and tidy. And you're like, I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah. And if you'll remember, I purposely did not put makeup on. I didn't get all fixed up because I'm letting you know, hey, showing me my underbelly, it's really okay. However you come into my life is perfectly acceptable. We get too hung up with trying to size everybody up and judge everybody instead of just going to the heart of things and enjoying and accepting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of, I remember that. Thanks for reminding me of that. So when I was talking about having feelings of excitement and enthusiasm, remember that what the word enthusiasm means. This is really important because it helps it drive what you'd love to have in your life immediately instead of a few years or a few months. It helps it come into your life more readily. A lot of people have said, well, what does it feel to be connected to this eternal power that creates so rapidly? Ask, it's given. Seek, you'll find. You know, right then you can have it rapidly. And I said, well, everybody knows what it feels like. Because they'll say, I wish I could feel that way. I say, you can. Mm-hmm. And the way I know you can is because you have felt feelings of enthusiasm before. And enthusiasm is a word that's been constructed. The Greeks had constructed it, and I know other countries, other civilizations have also constructed similar words. But they constructed it from three words, mainly in theos, im, which means God, it means in God me, or God inspiring within. Meaning that when you're feeling those feelings of enthusiasm, you have become one with that which created you and can channel through you those godly powers to command your world. That is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. It's awing to me. I never grow, is that a word? Anyway, it's inspiring to me. Because it's, you can see things changing. You feel one with yourself. When you have enthusiasm with you, it is an action, present, now word. It isn't a someday I'll get to it. You feel moving. You feel like you can take on the world and enjoy it, have fun with it. You feel one with you, your body, mind, and spirit. But you also notice you feel one with others around you. You're less likely to pick them apart or size them up, or are they you? And if you're one with yourself and one with others, you can be one with those that created you more easily because you're not distracted with things like, well, if they just did this. You see, you just have this flow that you allow come into you. So if you allow yourself to feel feelings of enthusiasm or remember when you did and ask to have that now again in your life, you start loading up with that power. It's palpable. You can feel it, and others can feel it as well, even over the phone, right, Michelle?
That's right. Absolutely. How do you suggest people get out of that mindset and stop using these four-letter words that are causing not only negative emotions but negative outcomes?
Well, I think first even recognizing, and without being hung up and thinking about it ad nauseum or over and over, because sometimes we can do that to where we are so walking on eggshells that we shut ourselves down. But just first of all, just recognizing, oh, this is how I'm doing it. But then there are words you can put in its place.
Yeah. Can I just give a quick example that you taught me?
Of course. Yeah.
So everybody knows I've talked about want. There it is. I've kind of expressed my desire to own a Vitamix, and I've said this on numerous shows. And I had said to you during one of our sessions, I said I really want a Vitamix, and you said you don't want one, you would love one, and I'm like, that's right. And now anytime I hear somebody say want, or I even go to say want, I put would love in there instead.
Mm-hmm. So. Great. And there's many other words that you could put in its place. Okay. You could say such thing as, I would desire to have a Vitamix. I prefer. I choose. I would love, if that's what you're doing, all right. And I would I would really like.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these options. And this is just an awakening to be aware of how you're speaking, and then you have something you can shift and put in its place.
So what is it about the word want that would keep me from getting one? Like, what can you just kind of like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say these... Let's just experiment a little bit with what's happening with our bodies.
Okay.
How does it feel when you hear the words work, fear, make, pain, want, hard, help, need? How do you feel? Do you feel empowered?
No.
Do you feel like you can command?
No.
See, your body is hearing this and responding and sending this. You know, you're sending this out. Your soul is sending out those preferences into the world, and the world's reflecting it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you allow yourself to unplug from that godly power. So in its place, or divine power, or however you, I'm not going to split hairs on that, but however it resonates with you. But if you hear words like fun, joy, well-being, trust, faith, humor, honor, genuine, playful, happy, abundance, exhilaration, peace, hope, like, love, how does that feel?
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, you smile even just hearing those words.
Yes, yeah. It resonates in you. It has a whole different feeling. It unlocks and unleashes your ability to create and to have this really feel-good feeling of abundance and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you create a clarity of a mind. These other things will shut you down, but this opens you up to many possibilities when you use those other words instead.
Absolutely.
I was just going to touch base, though, about that candidate, the last couple of things, just to tie that up.
Oh, yep, sorry.
No apologies ever, not ever. But if you feel thankful and grateful for the things we touched on, that was happening in your life, then you're more able to receive more in your life and to actually give thanks and appreciation to those who have allowed this to cascade into your life, to the people and to those that created you, or your eternal team or divine team of ancestors, angels, the elements, intelligences, whatever it is that you identify with. And then you flood your soul with great anticipation and appreciation for the supportive individuals who are swiftly coming into your life, or the wonderful opportunities that are swiftly coming into your life that you desire. So you're opening up with this giddy anticipation of excitement of, I'm so excited about what is being formed for me now.
Mm-hmm.
You hold on to that enthusiasm. And then also preparing your body each day prior to acting. It's very important. It helps you to be able to send out that power and that resonance that everything and everyone around you can be able to feel and reflect back to you. And people love being with you. When you're bringing your A game out, those people around you are like, I don't know what this person's got, but I like it and I like to be around this. You help spread this contagious, great feeling and good news of this joyful way of living, and it comes back to you. So your opportunities are multiplied, which is very cool.
That is very cool.
There's some other things, though, that feel like four-letter words. It's like rescue, sacrifice, discouragement, should, worry, long suffering, trying, and forcing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just share with you this story about this fellow that I was training. And I had been training him, very intelligent man, knew all this information. All of us know this information at some level. I'm helping people just to recall it and learn how to activate it in their lives. And I could see that he wasn't progressing. And I kind of got in the middle and just was direct with him and said, hey, are you living what you're learning? Are you activating what you're learning?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of hummed and hawed for a little bit. He goes, no, I don't think so. I said, well, it's obvious. And I was wondering, what is the hitch in his giddy-up? What's going on with this guy? And I happened to go by his office one day, and I saw this wall of words. He had all these amazing sayings on his wall. It was just covered with these sayings. to help him be inspired and uplifted throughout his day. And as I looked at this wall, I couldn't help but start chuckling because I realized, now remember, words have power.
Mm-hmm.
Those words literally were holding him in check. Those words, when he would walk in that room, the resonance of those words, and just gazing at those words and thinking about those words, they were holding him back from creating. He says, I feel like I'm moving forward and I slide back. I'm moving forward and I slide back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, no wonder. And then I said to him, take those words down. Pull them off your wall. They're one of the reasons why you're being held back, because every day you're going to this office, and every day at some level, these words are resonating in your being.
Yeah, what kind of words were they?
Okay, well, I have two examples, okay? And so if you're with me on Skype, I do a thumbs up and a thumbs down. But I'm going to let you and your listeners just picture in their head and do their own thumbs up and thumbs down. So if you took some of these sayings or these quotes and you cut off portions of them and kept the other portions of them, they would be great.
Yeah.
But there are some things in these sayings and quotes that are holding you back down. You start lifting up, and then you start drawing back down. So here is one as an example. And I can't give the names of who these quotes are from because he didn't have them associated with him. And maybe it's a good thing. So this is the first one. Some are inspired with vision. Others are encumbered with doubt.
Yeah.
Some are moved by ambition. Others feel safer in monotony. Some reach for the mountaintops. Others huddle in the pits. Some seek opportunity. Others wait for it to knock. Can you see how he would move forward and slide back? Move forward and slide back. So, and the other thing is, this is a new dispensation that's been ushered in.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, a lot of us were trained by staying in line. If you get out of line, you're going to be punished, you're going to be tested, you're going to be miserable. So you stay in line, because if you get out of line, this is what's going to happen. It's like this kind of like a little whipping to you, like a little whip to hold you in check, these little blinders kind of situation. And that is, those times of wrestling and contention and punishment are over if you allow it. This is a time of being gentle, of loving, of accepting, of cherishing who you are and truly respecting you in every level. If you don't love, cherish, appreciate, and respect you, how will anybody else have those feelings for you to the degree that you truly deserve?
Absolutely.
Because you're not expressing it to them. Mm-hmm. So this is an example of what he had on his wall that was the old way.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am. I am here for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not shrink into a grain of sand. Hence, I will apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I don't know about you, but it feels like someone's taken a 2x4 and beaten me. You know, I mean, I'm like, whoa! And not only that, is just before this show, I thumbed through these things because I said, take these down. I'm going to put them in a folder and show people, hey, if you have things like this on your wall, change it.
Absolutely.
And so not only did he have this once, but again, he carved out the last part, I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy, a second time and in even bigger, bolder words.
Wow.
So these are like, they have real impact in your lives.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, I don't think we really went into the rice experiment when I was visiting with you before, but basically, even rice will respond to the words.
Rice?
Even rice. Excuse me?
You said rice?
Rice. Even rice will respond to harsh words or loving words or being ignored. It will even respond.
Wow.
So, yeah, I did a rice experiment with my grandsons to show them, because they have they have a bit of a little pecking order, and they are, you know, filled with boyishness, and they are these fun, energetic boys, but sometimes they kind of whoop up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see that they didn't understand the power that they had in their ability to create or destroy the world. And so I went and got these books about the power of water, the hidden messages in water, by Masaru Emoto. And he is this just amazing scientist. And he takes water and he will infuse it with thoughts or feelings. He'll write on it or they'll speak to it or do both. And then he'll quickly freeze it. And it forms like these different formations. And this water that is filled with gratitude or love or kindliness or friendship form these magnificent, beautiful crystals that it's like more beautiful than any diamond setting that you could even have. But those words that are infused with hate and contention and other words like that, they form these like grotesque things and they can't even form a crystal. It's amazing.
Really? What's his name again?
You know what? I walked out of the room and I'll refer to it, but I'm going to tell you what we did and then I'll refer to his name back again
great.
As I go and find that information.
Okay.
Anyway, we took this rice and I said to my grandsons, do you feel like rice has a brain? I mean, we're talking cooked rice, rice that cannot replicate. It's been cooked.
Right.
Just cooked white rice. That's it. Again, let me refer to Masaru, M-A-S-A-R-U, Masaru Emoto, E-M-O-T-O.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hidden messages in water. There's also
very
the
cool.
the true power of water and the secret life of water. Our bodies hold a tremendous amount of knowledge because of the water that we have in them,
mm-hmm.
even in the DNA. I mean, we hold a tremendous amount of information and knowledge. And so to be able to see if rice will respond, it also reflects back to us that our bodies are responding to the words that we're using, the thoughts, the visions that we're having, that it literally does change our body.
Mm-hmm.
So, and our world around us. So that's what we did. We cooked up this rice, and they said, oh, no, rice doesn't have a brain. Of course not. You know, they call me Nana.
Yeah.
And they said, no, rice doesn't have a brain. I said, well, let's just see. Let's just see if it will respond to your words. So we cooked up this rice and put it in identical kind of canning jars with these bell lids, and we put words on it. And one jar we put, I love you, on it. Another jar we put, you fool. And another jar we put, ignore.
Mm-hmm.
So what their responsibility was, as often as they felt like it, all of us would go up to the jars and say basically what they have on it with as much enthusiasm, a feeling about it as we can for what it is that we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So as much passion, enthusiasm, remember, that can draw into your world immediately what it is that you are commanding.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd run up and say, I love you. We're talking about grade school boys, right? And then they'd come in and they'd say, you fool. And then the other one they just totally ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after a while, and they were staying with me during the summertime, so they had about a week and a half that they were staying with me. But you could start seeing changes happening with this rice. The I love you rice turned a golden mellow yellow. And it even smelled fine. You know, it was fine.
Yeah.
The you fool rice started having black and brown spots throughout it.
Yeah.
And the ignore rice turned gray and black and got this hairy stuff going on and went the fastest. It turned the fastest.
Mm.
So, and I also taught a girl, one of my clients was a girl that was 10 years old, and they had a lot of contention going in their house, and they were thinking she was the reason for it. She really wasn't. It was another family member that was really causing it. She was just showing that there was a concern in the family. So I suggested that they do the same experiment, and they expanded it a little bit further, and more of that's written in a book. I don't want to stay too long in this particular story, but the same thing happened with them. In fact, the I Love You rice actually grew. It fluffed up.
Really?
And the other rice, the other types of rice, shrunk down.
I would love to see, and especially if we have any teachers listening, I think this would be a fantastic experiment to do in a school, especially with the bullying that,
oh, yeah.
you know, is such an issue nowadays. That would be fantastic to do with children.
Well, it's letting them know that it affects the bullies, too.
Yeah.
The bullies, if they're sending that out, if they're feeling those feelings, it's affecting them deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just who they're trying to focus that attention on. Whatever you send out, you receive too.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. So in other words, then we discussed this afterwards, and I said, although the rice does not have a brain, it is constructed with intelligence. Mm-hmm. It has intelligence. It is created with elements. It has atoms and neurons and electrons. It has all of this stuff that's happening and moving. It's still viable. Maybe it can't replicate itself, but it still is a formation of energy.
And it also, and that's what I was going to say, is it, and because everything is energy, and even our words have a vibration to them. So that's just even more proof of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I love that.
So I tell people, and this really gets people who are like, have a just deeply religious grounding.
Mm-hmm.
I say, screw sacrifice. Forget about sacrifice and
yeah.
service and long-suffering and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, whoa, they'll start to take umbrage. I said, but wait, listen to this. Understand where I'm coming from. Because a lot of times when people go to try to help somebody or save somebody or fix somebody, they have a little bit of a feeling of superiority over that other person, like, hey, they're stronger, they're more, got it more together. And so they don't recognize that their attitude can actually be more damaging. It kind of gets into that victim, rescuer, persecutor kind of round-the-clock kind of thing. And it's like a Sir Galahad, who's going to go rescue the princess that's in distress. And, you know, I've been Sir Galahad before, where I was going to rescue the prince in distress. And I've recognized that it just doesn't work, because people are desiring to gain experience. And I was kind of sticking my nose in places that really was not for me to do. And I realized, oh, my gosh, I'm trying to butt my nose in to try to help somebody, and they've created to learn from this on purpose. And if I go in and I adjust my attitude and see them as these amazing beings that are desiring to learn and master certain situations that they've created, and I love them and I champion them and I'm excited for them and supportive of them, see, that's a whole different feeling than going in to save and rescue. They don't need saving. Their spirits are perfect. They've come here to gain experience and learn how to harmonize their life with everything that touches it. So if I come in and take it away from them or try to take it away, like people who are having drug issues or addiction issues and things like that, if I come in and basically give them the message that I don't believe they can do this, mm-hmm. that they can overcome this, that I'm just this great person that can take care of these things for them, set them all straight, then I'm not sending out this true thought that they are capable. And they wouldn't have brought this to them unless it had value for them to learn and grow in. So when I'm training people who are addicts and have some different issues, I'll say to them, hey, don't stop because I'm in your life. Go ahead and do whatever it is that you've been doing. But I'm going to teach you life skills so that you no longer have to use those things to numb yourself from your pain. You can actually have the skills to deal with life instead of reaching for those addictive things to try to comfort yourself. And in short time, they're able to let go because they found something that's more satisfying for them and more empowering for them.
You know how many lives you just changed with that one, like 5 minutes that you just talked. That was just so incredible and such a different way of looking at even using the addiction as an example. I've never thought of it in that way. You're amazing. I love you.
Well, they're amazing. Those that inspire me and download intelligence into me. On my own, I'm not that clever, but truly what they teach me changes my life. I see my world through completely different eyes. As a parent, oh my gosh, that information is so freeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freeing. You can just love and enjoy your children and create just opportunities as far as having a healthy environment for them to learn and grow in and let go of the judging and the worrying. They have these divine beings that's in place, key beings for each of us. We each have them, and we don't have to go in and try to fix each other. It's really, we are to champion and celebrate and believe and see our greatness, see ourselves as these amazing eternal spirits that have come to be cloaked in these bodies, to figure out stuff by using these bodies and these feelings, and to stay open as recognizing that these are adventures that we have asked to experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it just takes on a whole different dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you even helped change my view on, we were talking about finances one time, and so many people, you know, they think about finances, they wake up, they go to bed thinking of them. And I remember we were talking about it one time, and you reminded me that we come from a divine place of abundance and love and joy, and that's who we are. That's where we come from. And it just, it totally resonated with me, and it totally changed how I look at it. And anytime I feel my body tense up a little bit, if I'm thinking about money, I just say, I come from a divine place of abundance, and this is my being, this is my state, and it helps incredibly.
It really does. You see it from a different perspective.
Yep.
And I've shared with you specific things that I've done in my life of commanding profound wealth and blessings into my life, and it comes readily. So I know that this is our truth, but will we believe that we can be worthy to receive it? We are worthy, but will we believe we're worthy? Will we open up and say yes to it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the main difference. These are very simple laws. When you're talking about wealth, I'd like to share with you a story that I think is just so simple and so moving about a family that shifted their belief, their core belief in something, and were profoundly blessed. And it's a story about there was a husband and wife that came for training, and they were from a religious background. They were from a background that believed in tithing. And so the wife was asking me to explain the principles of tithing, because I think her husband didn't fully embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could picture it in her being, I could picture her thinking that he kind of needed to be chastised a bit. You know me, I'm not about that at all. I'm not interested in that at all. I'm like, no, I'm punishment, chastising. I've never received that from my divine source. They adore us. And they are not filled with punishment and chastising. That's, I think, why a lot of people choose not to believe in a divine source, because they've been so told about how they're angry, jealous gods that tear down and destroy, you know, civilizations and nations. And like, oh, no, and pit people again and have them. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not how I've ever felt from them. I've always felt complete love and acceptance and encouragement and restoring my happiness and joy continually. So anyway, I could feel the word sacrifice coming in, and that's like a four-letter word.
Right.
Going with tithing. And so I shared with them the story that was told to me by this man, by a man who, when he was younger, was a missionary in Brazil. And he was proselytizing and teaching people so that if it resonated with them and they had a desire, they could be able to join into this church. And they came down to the fact of they were getting ready to be baptized, and he taught them the lesson about tithing. And tithing, for those that are not aware of it, is basically, in this scenario that what this young man taught, was to give a tenth of whatever you earn and give it back to their creator as a showing of appreciation. And now this family was very poor, profoundly poor. Kind of like they lived in Brazil, and they were like in a one-room home, and had lots of kids, and they were struggling financially. And you were talking about the finances brought me that the story to mind, and it will resonate with other people too, that right now in this day and age, a lot of people are concerned about their finances. So the promise is that if you, and I believe it's in Malachi, if someone is looking in a biblical kind of background, that if you do give back, that the windows of heaven will open up and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. Now, just in general, being appreciative and being a person who gives back to kind of pay it forward is a great thing.
Right.
Because you start having this feeling, if you do it because you desire, not because you're feeling sacrificed, but if you do it because you desire, you feel so blessed that you would desire to share this forward to be supportive of others also having wonderful opportunities that they're creating themselves anyway. It changes your feeling from feeling miserly and feeling lacking and having want in your life. It just changes your feeling to where you can feel like you have more abundance and you can have more gratitude and you can be giving and open and sharing. So he was teaching them this lesson, and they were, you know, very receptive. But they, when they came to this part, the family was crestfallen, and they didn't know how they could possibly live that law. And the man tried to comfort them by sharing that promise that I was talking about. But shortly after that lesson, he was transferred to another part of the country, and he really just didn't know what happened to his family. And he wasn't able to keep in touch with them because they didn't have phones and things like that. And then one day, as this missionary was walking down a road, he heard his name being called. And he turned to see a car driving toward him on the same road. And what was more startling was that the car was filled with people whose arms were waving out the windows, and exuberant smiling faces were also leaning out the windows while they were yelling his name. And when the vehicle came close and came to a stop beside him, he recognized that the people in the car were the same family members he had taught in the previous town. Mm-hmm. And it was so rare to see a car in that area of the country. So the curious young man asked the family, "Whose car are you driving?" And the father replied that it was their car. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. So he was so astonished by this answer that the missionary inquired, how were they able to afford such an expensive purchase in such a short amount of time? And the father went on to share the story. And it was after the missionary left their home, they were very discouraged. But then they reasoned that they could live on 10 bananas and try to figure out life on their own. Or they could live on 9 bananas with the help of those who created them. Mm-hmm. And they decided to live on 9 bananas, and that made all the difference. It was just a shift in their belief of feeling like they were lacking to seeing that really, and now I'm not saying that those that created you will not be there for you if you don't pay tithing. They love you. They're going to be there for you. So please don't take this as if, okay, but I'm just saying that their shift in the feeling of sacrifice, the word sacrifice, they released sacrifice and they opened up to a belief of this wonderful opportunity of becoming linked with living God's to assist them. Mm-hmm. They let go of feeling of sacrifice and want and lack and started believing that they could have all things flow into their lives, and they did.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did it come back to them? How is it, did they ever say how they were able to achieve?
Well, I didn't go into, you know, the man just told me this quick story. He didn't go into that detail. Mm-hmm. I know how I could contact him and find out that information if you would really like to know that. But what I'm sharing with you is the same things that happened to me over and over and over again. Over and over consistently is I let go of my lack, my need, my fears, and I open up to my belief that they are real, that they love me, that they hear me, that they hear my desires and requests the first time. I don't have to say it over and over. I don't have to plead and beg. As soon as I do that, I'm coming from that place of lack.
Yeah.
And I hold on to my activated faith and open up my vessel in my body, this temple called my body, that holy of holies, within this temple of my body, standing in my holy place and taking it with me everywhere I go, and letting this enthusiastic feeling of my connecting with them resonate in my body, and I know they're with me, I know they hear me, and I command my world, and I see the immediate effects of it.
That's incredible. And also, for anybody that is listening and just loves everything that you're saying and wants more information, you have a lot of information on your website. Because it just reminded me of, because on the website you have the preparing your vessel section there.
Yes.
So can we just take this time to let our listeners know where to find you?
Sure. You can find me at PamelaAnnEzell.com. So it's PamelaAnn. E-Z, like a zebra, ELL.com.
Yep.
And you can always email me, too, at PamelaAnn@EZLightning, so it's EZLIGHTNING.com.
Good. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we got that in because we only have 5 minutes left. You know, what's kind of funny is when you were talking about earlier about the gentleman that had all of those words in his home or in his office, the one where he would, like, go forward, slide back. And it was just reminding me of my life for the simple fact that everything always works out for me. Everything, you know, if I lose $10, I'll win $10. Like, I just, and myself and my family always called me Even Steven.
Uh-huh.
But then I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't want to be Even Steven.
Right.
I want to be ahead. I always want to, you know, so, yeah, so I tell them not to call me Even Steven anymore. I call myself
right.
Ahead now. Yeah.
That's just very important because you shifted. So take action. Instead of just hearing about this and marveling about it, take action and begin now to release all four-letter words from your life and choose to replace them with encouraging words that have a positive, powerful effect in the situations you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And also allow yourself to find other people who are willing to partner with you in this mutually uplifting activity. It's very helpful because they'll help you and say, oh, okay, you may desire to shift that word into a word that is more powerful. There was a friend, I know we just have a few minutes, that kept this word on her wall. It was halt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wondering why she wasn't progressing. Because she was saying, oh, yeah, I have some words on my wall, too. She goes, my word is halt. And I'm thinking, halt means stop to me.
Mm-hmm.
But hers, it stood for, am I hungry, am I angry, am I lonely, and am I tired? I said, even those words feel horrible. You know, they don't resonate.
Yeah.
I said, take that down and change it to, am I happy?
Mm-hmm.
Am I filled am I filled with joy? No, let me see. Wait a minute. Instead of hungry, am I nourished? Am I filled with joy? Am I a friend, a true friend to others, and that resonates back to me? Am I filled with enthusiasm? So again, look at your life and see where you maybe have posted or you think those four-letter words and release them to what you desire and what you prefer, you choose, you love, you like.
That's right, and that's the whole point. Or one of the main reasons why I have this show is simply to help provide people the tools in their little, you know, toolbox of life to be able to give them that so that they don't have to live a life of misery and want and despair. And that's why I love having guests like you come on to show and provide these tools for people to live a life that they desire and that they deserve.
Absolutely, and we all deserve it. It is our eternal birthright to link with these loving beings and command our world. They love doing this with us, and they really appreciate it when we acknowledge that they are even there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, and they'll rapidly assist you. They'll rapidly assist you.
And just to clarify, when you say they, you're talking about those who created us, right? Whoever that may be.
Right. For me, it's gods, literal gods. It's my ancestors. It's those that are coming into my life. And it's my friends who have lived here and have passed over, or my family that's passed back over.
Yep.
It's the elements. It's the intelligences. It's the angels. It's what we talk about, what we read about. Instead of just pontificating or philosophizing about it, it's actually interacting with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually having a personal relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about it. It's on my website. You can download how to have a council meeting. It's part of the two chapters that are free chapters from my book, Mindset of Miracles. So you can download it. It's free. And it talks about how to form a council meeting to help you learn how to be able to connect and to visit with them and to command your world.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. We're out of time. Paulanne, I'm so glad that you were here, and I'm so glad that we did this. And I really think that you have so much incredible information to share that I really want to start having you come on as a regular guest, because you're so inspiring and you have so much to share. So I would love it if, you know, as long as our schedules are, because I know that you're pretty busy. So.
Well, you're worth it, and I love sharing this with you and your guests as well. And so thank you so much. It was truly a joy for me as well.
Thank you. Okay, and you have a fantastic evening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye. Okay, that's it. I absolutely adore Pamela Ann. I'm so glad she was here, and we'll probably have her come back on and talk about EFT, because I really, really, really think if you don't know about it, you should. So that's it. Thank you so much again for listening. If you haven't caught any of my old archive shows, go ahead. They're on iTunes, Love Your Life with Michelle. And I will be on next Thursday, May something. Anyway, with Mark Romano, and he is going to be talking about music and how to uplift our energy, change our energy through music. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to smile and let joy be your dessert.